Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. Coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with Susan Hart and Ben Vicelio from the Oedipus Complex at the Goodman Theater. We also have an audio review of Frozen by Next Theater, and of course, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax, and get ready to talk theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guests today are from a show that will be opening soon at the Goodman Theater. The show is Oedipus Complex, and our guests are two of the stars of the show, Susan Hart and Ben Vicelio. Did I say your name right, Ben?
Vicelio, yes.
Okay, Susan, it is such an honor to have you on this podcast, because I have enjoyed your work for many years here in Chicago.
Thank you.
So, Susan, tell us about this play. What can we expect?
Well, in my opinion, right off the bat, you can expect an hour and 45 minutes of really amazing drama. We've been, we're about to preview, honestly.
Okay.
And we're at a point now where I think we're all feeling pretty confident in terms of the storytelling. But I think it's a very, very, very compelling evening of theater.
Well, it's Frank Galati's adapting...
Yes.
Oedipus Complex from the point of view of
Sigmund Freud.
So, Ben, tell us how this is. I heard there's a special chorus in this show. Give us
an
idea.
Oh, there is. There's as was the case in with Greek drama. There's chorus, and the interesting thing about this, I mean, I haven't seen Oedipus a production of Oedipus before, except on tape, but I've never seen a live theater production. But I've seen other Greek drama with choruses, and most of the time I've seen it where the chorus, for instance, the lines given to the chorus are divided up among certain actors,
okay.
So one person will take one line. What I love about this production is they went with the true
Greek
meaning of the chorus, which is they speak as one person.
Oh, that's, so, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning.
Yeah.
Wow. And I heard it's quite a light in visually the show is compelling.
Oh,
very
it's gorgeous.
Stunning.
Yeah.
So, Susan, tell us what part you play.
I play Jocasta, the Queen of Thebes.
Okay.
And, should I give it away?
Well, give us enough.
I'm wondering how much your listeners know about the story.
To get people interested to want to come down to the Goodman to see the show.
I'm married to a man named Oedipus and have had four children with him. And we've been happily married. Oedipus was a stranger to Thebes and came and solved the riddle of the Sphinx, which was on the verge of destroying our city. And Oedipus solved the riddle and made the Sphinx go away. And I had been previously married to the king of Thebes, a man whose name was Laius, who died in a robbery. And when Oedipus came to town and solved the riddle of the Sphinx, the city married me to him as a gift, and he became king of Thebes, and we've had four children. And we get the sense that we've had a pretty happy existence.
Things have been good.
Things have been really good.
And
at the beginning of our play...
I am Oedipus.
You are Oedipus. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what she said.
We can't go much further than that.
Because, yeah,
yeah.
But it's Freud's interpretation of the classic Greek Oedipus story.
Well, it's not so much. I wouldn't say his interpretation. It's he is presenting the story to us. However, the stuff involving Freud is actually taken mostly from his notebooks and from his letters to his assistant. So they are his actual writings from, say, the interpretation of dreams.
Well, that's interesting.
And it is. It's fascinating. And obviously he's the one that coined the term the Oedipus complex. And so it's kind of melding his writings with the Oedipus text.
Yeah. And it's oddly moving because... Freud is on a path to discovery, self-discovery, within his writing. And this is the point in Freud's life when Frank picked the writings from, was when he was really doing a lot of self-exploration after the death of his father. And it's the parallels are stunning of Freud's inner journey and Oedipus's journey to find out the truth of his existence. I mean, I don't want to rob the story, and I don't want to give too much away, but the play begins as a plague hits Thebes, and we've already been happily married. None of what I just said happens in the play. That all precedes the play. But if I proceed too much further, because we basically come to find out not good things about ourselves, Oedipus and Jocasta. And and it's watching a man hurled toward his destiny who asks too many questions and wants all the answers and finds them, and it's not good. And this a similar
so this
thing
is high
happens
drama.
With Freud.
Is
it's
oh,
high.
It's as high as it gets.
It is. Okay. It's the hardest thing
as
I've ever
as
done.
As low as it gets.
It's what? Did you say the hardest thing?
It is. It is.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me too, mm-hmm. by far.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Well, it sounds like you're really up for the challenge, huh?
It's exciting.
So, I mean, it's pretty sexy play too, huh?
Well, I mean, the stakes are so high in this play, and the drama is so palpable that, I mean, in that way, it is. It's just, it doesn't let up for a moment.
No.
And it's 100 minutes without
an intermission.
I think
it's going to be about an hour 40 with no intermission.
An hour 40 without intermission,
but there's,
which is great.
There's no appropriate
place. So it's just building up. Yeah,
once the teeth are set.
It is truly, Oedipus is truly a machine of a play. I mean, it just clicks along, one discovery after another.
Like that kind of pace. So it's a well-paced joke.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So how was Frank Galati to work with? Was he making a lot of changes? Because he's the adapter and the director, right?
Well, he actually used he's actually done this play before.
Okay.
He did it for the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Mm-hmm. Yes, Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And he, for that production, which I think was about 4 years ago, he actually attempted to do the translation or adaptation himself of the original play. So what he did is he looked over a number of different adaptations and then kind of wrote his own, and then included scenes with Freud. And in that one, you actually got scenes where Freud would interact with Oedipus. Mm-hmm. And so it was.
And also, there were Viennese locations in that as well.
That's right.
In Vienna.
And there were other characters.
But this one is set in ancient Greece.
It's set. Then you'll see the show
and you'll say they lied.
It's not. It's told in Grecian style, but it's not set in ancient Greece.
Yeah.
How do you prepare for a show like this? I mean, I understand that Galati is the kind of director that just makes you instantly admire him and you instantly trust him.
Yes.
That's what all the actors have told
He always puts you at ease. You're always comfortable with him.
You feel very loved and protected, and he's
and
really
does he
amazing.
Give you a chance to explore the character, or is
absolutely.
He very? Because some directors, you know, they really want you. You know, it's got to be this way, turn here. You know, they want you like robots. Others let you absorb the character and bring that.
Those are the ones we like to work for.
Okay, sounds like that's what Frank wants to do.
Yeah,
Frank's the master of it. I think
he's very very trusting. I mean, he trusts his actors, and that's an incredible compliment and incredible gift. And the man, he's just the amount of knowledge he has at his fingertips is just incredible. I mean, he can, you know, sit there and talk about the play and, you know, the themes and the history and whatever for hours, and you just sit there enraptured. I mean, it's incredible.
Is that amazing?
I call it kneeling at the altar of Frank every day.
Well, he's going to be happy about that. So, Susan, how do you prepare for a role like this?
Do you mean before an evening's performance or just approaching the role altogether?
Absorbing, becoming the role, becoming the part. And that's a valid question also for each night.
I think the honest answer to that question is you do a lot of preparation for your audition. I mean, I think you have to have a really good sense of your version of the character before you even audition. So I spent a lot of time reading different adaptations, reading Frank's adaptation, looking at the sides, doing a lot of homework so that when I walked into the audition room, I felt I had created a world for myself that was You know, and then you just pray that it's the same point of view that he has, or you know, that at least I would fit into his world.
That's a great lesson for young actors about going into an audition, preparation. Because a lot of them think they just get it something to read and you walk in.
No, preparation is everything. And you know, I had to do a scene for my audition that was a doozy. Let's just put it that
way.
And I was really daunted by the notion of having to do that scene for the audition. And spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of work trying to find a way to access. And then eventually I accessed emotionally what I thought was
well, you must have done all right because you got the role.
Moment. And yeah. And so, you know, I have to be honest, by the time we started, I'd already done a lot of preparation. And I frankly just couldn't wait to, and I think we all feel this way once we've done all our homework and prep, then we just want to get into scene work. And, you know, I was so thrilled when I heard Ben was doing it because we knew each other previous to this, which is great. But to actually get on your feet and instead of being in your head and staring at words and you know, imagining what it's going to be like to actually, you know, show up in the rehearsal hall and just
well, Ben, I see you nodding in agreement, but how did you prepare for the audition to, you know, to end up getting
for the audition? I mean, I couldn't believe at the time that I was being called in for the role of Oedipus.
They called you in for it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's an honor. And so you
were
called in.
It is.
Well, you're on that. You guys are on that level.
But it was one of those things where, honestly, I thought, well, I don't think this is going to work out in my favor. But, you know, it is a role that usually goes to someone a little older than I am. But, you know, Frank was generous enough and honest enough to say, no, he has to be younger. Oedipus has to be younger. And people, when they see the show, will see why he has to be younger. Mm-hmm. But, and so, you know, like Susan said, I just prepared. And
you don't get a chance to audition for Frank very often anyway.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
When you're called
you really
on it,
you
give that a priority.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I just, you know, worked my tail off and, came in and did it and got the call back and couldn't believe that either and then got the call. And
so now how do you – I know you're just at the point where previews are going to be starting. How do you mentally prepare for a role you've already indicated with your vocals and your body language on how intense this show is? So how do you keep up? I mean, you're doing, what, eight shows a week?
Mm-hmm.
And you double up, what, three times?
One week we double up three times.
Others
it's twice. Only two.
Mm-hmm. So how do you keep it fresh
I try not to think about it.
Yeah,
try not to think about the fact that I'm going into previews. I mean, try to just, especially with a story like Oedipus that's so tight and compact and well-crafted, I even when it's in the rehearsal room, I just have to approach it with, okay, I'm just going to tell the story clearly.
Yes.
Okay. Every time.
Yes. And it doesn't, if it's not like yesterday, that's okay. It's if I learn something new today, that's great. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about running a show for, especially if you get more than a couple of weeks, because all you can do is you pray that you hit the stage and you are alive in that play that night. And it's one of the curses of having a good matinee performance, isn't
right.
it? Because
yes.
you go out on stage in the evening and think, God, I was good this afternoon.
Now I got to do it again.
Yeah.
Well, isn't the, you might limit the experience, but a lot of actors have told me that they said they have to go back to that old cliche. Those people at night, that's opening night. Every
Absolutely.
Night, every show is open.
Yeah.
And you really have to kind of think
And every show
like,
is different because the audience is a different beast every performance. So it's not, you can't replicate a performance ever because there's going to be a different, it's a different event every time you walk in. Because
that's what makes theater what it is.
Yeah, we feed off the energy of the audience.
Absolutely.
Just as much as they
talk
feed
about
off our
that
energy.
A little bit because we don't deal with that enough. And a lot of people who go to theater don't realize how much us in the audience affect the play.
I don't know. I think I love the ritual of theater. I love that people still go to the theater, and I'm honored. I feel honored to be doing it as for a living because I think there's something really holy and ancient and beautiful about it. And the energy, and it, you know, in our play, you know, we're certainly not going to, I don't want to say it, but you know, it's intense is the best way I can put it.
And you get
so
you're
we're not
going to
be looking for energy from the audience. Like, for instance, when you're doing a comedy, you know, one of the first thing actors say after their, you know, when you haven't been on yet is, how's the house tonight? How are they? Yeah. You know, like warming
up. Are they restless? Are they coughing?
Are they, right, exactly. I think in our play, their willingness to, I mean, I'm sure it's an event unlike anything, it's nothing like I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I hope the audience is going to have the same experience of really, it's kind of a really entirely new creation of, and it's wonderful. But we do need them because you really literally can feel, although I feel like we're failing if we lose them and they get restless, you know, we're all aware of that. But in terms of, we hit the stage wanting to tell you the truth of our story. You, that's why you are here. That's the ritual. We are going to share our story with you. And you, in turn, will be participating with us because we feel every ounce of your concentration and energy. And, you know, you can really feel when an audience is kind of leaning forward into the play as opposed to sitting back.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I always say that the only thing I ask for an audience is that they come with an open heart and to suspend their expectations. Mm-hmm. Because I think one of the most dangerous things that an audience member can do is to expect something of a show. For instance, you know, I've been doing a lot of Shakespeare, and
yes, you have, and
with
both have.
And with this show here, you know, being Oedipus, people often come into shows with expectations of what something is supposed to look like or what something is supposed to be, and I think that can be really detrimental.
The emotionally draining of this show, from what I'm indicating, this, you guys are leaving it all on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And by the end of the week, you're kind of burned out?
Toast.
Oh, absolutely.
So what do you do on your day off after, you know, getting your brains beat out for eight performances, right?
I have everything I didn't have time to do during the week. I mean, that's, you know, all the little chores and errands that I've
done. So now it's time for a little commercial for the show. It's at the Goodman Theater, and it's Oedipus Complex. And I believe the show is what? You're running what? Tuesdays?
Through Sunday.
Tuesdays through Sundays, mm-hmm. And you have one of the matinees on Thursdays, right?
They vary throughout the run.
They vary Thursday or Wednesday.
Check the website.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If they go to the GoodmanTheater.org, they can check on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now let's talk about your background, because first, Susan, I'm looking at your background, and I see just a few Shakespeares.
Just a few.
You are considered, you know, among actors, considered one of the five top leading ladies in Chicago theater.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yeah, that's true. And that's from, I won't name, but all people you know.
Oh.
And you're a premier acting teacher, too.
So yeah,
a lot of the young
I'm
actors
honored
said that you're,
to be
you're,
teaching now, yeah.
And so give us your background now.
All right. In brief, have been in Chicago for a little over 20 years. Got my undergrad degree in acting from a little liberal arts school in Ohio. Didn't learn enough about Shakespeare there. But I was, while I was in Ohio, in the American premiere of Nicholas Nickleby, which was at the Great Lakes Theater Festival.
Excellent.
Yes, way back when. Right after the RSC did it, the Great Lakes Shakespeare Company got the rights to do it. And so we had a national cast. It was a wonderful thing to do right out of college.
Yeah, I could see
And it was in that show that I decided there and then. I had made a living as a dancer for many years.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I was a professional dancer.
I know you've done choreography.
Yeah.
So that follows in.
I also, I danced in New York and various jobs around the country. And anyway, when I did the Nickleby, I kind of decided right there and then that I wanted to do regional classical theater for the rest of my life. I thought if I could do this, if I could make a living doing this, I'd be the happiest person alive. It's amazing to think that it actually happened, you know, but that happened, you know, enough people want that, but.
Wow. Yeah. And you're one of the few, what do they say? Yeah. About 1% of the actors can actually make a living at it and to be doing classical theater too.
Yeah. It's really, wonderful.
Okay, Ben, we'll talk more on that.
Sure,
Ben,
sure.
What's your background? I've seen you do some terrific Shakespeare.
Oh, well, thank you. I grew up an Air Force brat, so I'm not really from anywhere.
Okay. Where were the Air Force? I see the Air Force sweatshirt on.
Yeah, Air Force Academy. Go Falcons. So grew up in the Air Force and went to Kenyon College in Ohio and was originally English major. Writing is one of the you know, my passions, and then kind of discovered drama there. I hadn't really done much drama at all before college. Got involved and became a drama major as well as an English major, and then went out to L.A. Right after college to go to CalArts, get my master's in film. CalArts didn't agree with me, so I worked out there for about 4 years and then came to Chicago to do the School at Steppenwolf acting program for a summer.
Fabulous. Yeah, that's a real nice launching pad.
Yeah, never looked back. So,
and
stayed here.
Okay. Now, tell us some of the plays you're most proud of.
Well, I mean,
or roles you like to play.
I haven't done too many. I mean, that's the thing.
You've got a
I've got a few. No, I know.
You've got
but
some nice ones.
Well,
there.
I mean, you know, I loved doing the three plays I did at Steppenwolf. I loved them all. I mean, they were. I did theatrical essays.
Yes, I saw that. Yes. Tina Landau.
Tina Landau directed that, and Tina also directed The Cherry Orchard, which I did.
Right.
Which
yes,
I just loved doing it. And then Amy Morton directed me in a show called Men of Tortuga, which I think was one of the most inventive new scripts I had read in quite
some
time.
I saw that. That was, and I think that's, you almost quoted me. I think I said something like that.
Yeah.
That's right. You were in that.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, Susan, now what? Give us a couple of the roles that you are the proudest of.
I just played Beatrice in Milwaukee recently, finally. And for Kate Buckley, I don't know if you know the director, Kate Buckley.
Yeah, I did not see that production, but I know who Kate Buckley is.
Yeah, it was delightful. So Beatrice, I think Arkadna in The Seagull.
Mm-hmm.
I know Amanda in The Glass Menagerie was, I think, next to this, one of the most profoundly profound journeys I've been on. I loved it. I loved exploring her every night. But you know, you don't, you know.
Well, Rose Tattoo you did here was terrific too.
Yes, Rose Tattoo was fun. Yeah. Yes, I also loved, I mean, more than Rose Tattoo. I loved Rose Tattoo, but you know, I didn't love the character I was playing, I have to say. But I really loved playing Trish Platt in House and Garden for Bob Falls, which was the two shows that opened this theater.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I was the lead in House, and Barb Robertson was the lead in Garden. And we got to run back and forth all night long, you know. But working with Bob for the first time was just fantastic, and we had such a great time. It was an all-Chicago cast, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful thing
so
to do.
So you've worked with probably all our premier directors in Chicago.
I've worked with a lot of them,
yes.
And
you worked with Barbara Gaines,
yes.
You worked with Bob Falls, now
yes.
Frank Galati.
Mm-hmm.
Have you? I assume you've worked with Michael Halverson.
Yes, I did. I did Seagull for him, Arkadna in the Seagull, and Jane and
Benefactors.
I remember
that. Yeah, that was what, only about a year ago, or so wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've worked for him a couple of times. Gary Griffin, I've worked for a lot. Many, many shows with Gary. So you're been very blessed.
Okay. Now, what got you into teaching? You're teaching at Shakespeare course.
I teach at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Yeah. What got me into teaching was, oddly, I was doing Our Town at Writers Theater.
I remember
directed
that.
Directed by William Brown, which was a gorgeous production.
Yes, it sure was.
Oh, God. And my Kate Buckley, the director I've referred to a couple of times, is also my best girlfriend. And she occasionally teaches classes at Chicago Shakespeare in what we call the first folio technique there. But Kate's become a really busy regional director lately and has not been teaching as readily. So because of that, there's a lot of actors, like even Ben himself, we just never got enough Shakespeare in college to feel really confident about it. And
yes,
just
I
like
know a couple
a,
people
a solid
that want to be in
to,
your
like,
course that have told me that. Yeah.
Latch on, just something you can latch on to and just chew on and really, really get into the text work. Anyway, I was doing this production of Our Town, and a few of the actors in the show, including Joel Hatch, who is in our production right now, said they were sorry that Kate wasn't teaching anymore because they had always wanted to do that. And I said, oh, my God, I could teach you that. I've been doing folio technique for 20 years. I studied with Barbara way back in the day, long before she had the theater, off and on for years, and honed my technique on that very stage and love this particular technique that we teach. And so I said, oh, heck, I could teach that. And before I knew it, I had this kind of like underground following of Chicago actors calling and saying, I hear you're doing classes in your house. Come back with David Gray. It was one of those. Like,
that's fabulous.
I heard you're doing classes. And before you knew it, the word kind of spread, and then Barbara invited me to teach at the theater. So now it's kind of, it's thriving beautifully. Yeah.
So Ben, so tell us now. Have you taken the course?
I did. I was
did
in
you really?
Class. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got cast in a role at Chicago Shakes, and they just to kind of prep me for it. Mm-hmm. They gave me their scholarship or whatever to.
Oh, that's to interesting. In, okay.
Yeah, that was great. And so she was my teacher, and it was a great class. I loved it.
And he was great. Henry
so,
Fife.
So tell us now who else is in the show, because you have an all-star cast.
We certainly
yeah.
do.
Oh, yeah, great people.
Go.
Well, as mentioned, we got Joel Hatch.
Yeah.
We've got Brad Armacost. We've got Patrick Clear.
Wow.
Sean Fortunato.
Craig Spidel.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Hazenstab.
Mm-hmm. Cliff Chamberlain. Kevin Aslin.
Yeah.
Tim Hall.
Nick Sands,
of course, mm-hmm. who's playing Freud.
This is like the A-list.
Rick Peoples is quite wonderful.
Yeah,
wow.
And this Jeff Baumgarten
I mean,
is
it is an
really
A-list
something.
Cast.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Top to bottom.
So
yeah.
You guys got to feel honored to have the leads.
Oh,
with
we were
them.
Just
absolutely.
Saying that today.
Yes.
I'm a big sap, and I get really gushy still 20 years in. I'm completely unjaded. And we were sitting out in the house watching a transition that we were eventually going to be a part of on the stage, and they asked us to just watch it so we could see what it looked like. And I got tears in my eyes and went over to Ben and said, I can't believe we're going to be in, we're in that.
We get to be part
it's
of
so
this.
It's so beautiful yeah. that, and we get to go up there and tell this amazing tale. Yeah, I mean, it's humbling. And
it's very humbling.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, it's great. It's
I
great.
Mean, you don't feel any pressure coming into this
no.
at all.
Oh, no pressure.
So the last question I want from each of you. All right, there's two press openings. Do you guys prepare special for that? I've heard people say, they don't care about press on, it's just another show. Others, they get real nervous. How do you guys approach?
I want to puke myself.
do you really?
Yeah, I hate them. Mm-hmm. I hate them. I deep breathe and pray and do all kinds of things to just relax and, tell the story. But I don't like the pressure of one evening with a bunch of people judging you out there.
Yeah, I prefer just not to know. Yeah. I mean, obviously, when they say it's press night, it's hard not to know. But
yeah, because it's a Monday. How many Monday or right. Monday mm-hmm. and a Tuesday? Mm-hmm.
But I try not to think about it.
Yeah.
I don't even like to think about it.
It's just, it can't be in your psyche when that's what you really have to ask for, is to just really forget that.
So that would be your advice
right
to young actors, is just tune it out. If your show's ready,
your
it comes
safest
together.
Place is in the play.
Just show up and do your job.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, we've not having me as a spokesman for the critics, but you guys have gotten some pretty good press. So I think you're pretty.
And
I mean, you got a great story. You got a great director, and you got some of the best actors in Chicago.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And it's obvious that you guys are having a tremendous amount of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to survive the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. We laugh a lot.
Yeah, we do.
A lot.
You have to.
Mm-hmm.
Just to
relieve the pressure.
Just to relieve it.
Mm-hmm. happens. I don't think we do it consciously, but we
laugh
a lot.
So what I'm hearing from you guys is everyone in Chicago should come see this movie.
Oh,
absolutely.
Betcha. Don't miss
it. I'm looking forward to it, particularly now. Like I said, I don't find out a lot ahead of time because I like to go in fresh, but I'm already with this cast. I mean, that's the other thing I do sometimes. You pick the theater group, you pick the playwright, and then if you have any doubt, you just look at the cast. And whenever I see any of your names on it, I always go to the show.
Oh, thank you.
And a few of the others. That are on
that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, thank you so much for your time. We're
thank
really
you.
Looking forward to this. And Susan, do you have any advice for our young actors? Because we have a lot of actors who listen to these podcasts. Just in general about, making theater their life?
Yeah, I think stay disciplined, train hard, learn as much as you can. If you ever feel like you think you know everything, quit.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Okay, Ben, what would your advice? I mean, you're this young guy already. You're in, you're really at a top level.
I mean, I would echo a lot of what she said. I think just be professional and really work hard and don't, never rest on your laurels.
Right.
You can always be better.
Well, that's great advice.
Amen.
And thank you so much. Thanks, folks, for listening. And remember, go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another encomiest episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Mote, bringing you Chicago's theater news for the week of April 30th, 2007. One lucky Chicagoan who is going to have the good fortune of joining the tour of Lerner and Lowe's Camelot, starring Michael York. The national tour of Camelot will be coming to Chicago's LaSalle Bank Theater from May 1st through the 13th, and the cast and crew will be auctioning off a walk-on role to benefit the Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS organization. The proceeds will go to the organization as part of the Broadway community's annual spring fundraising drive. The lucky winning bidder will take the stage on either May 10th or 11th, it hasn't quite been decided yet, and will receive their very own Excalibur sword. It will be identical to the one being used by King Arthur, i.e. Sir Michael York. Not only that, they will receive two tickets to that evening's performance for their friends to see them standing on the stage, a signed photo of Sir Michael York, a Broadway poster autographed by the entire company, and a gift certificate to Wolfgang Puck's Grand Cafe up in Evanston. Now, the sword that they're receiving has been handcrafted exclusively for the national tour and is one of only two of its kind in the entire world. For more information on this once-in-a-lifetime chance, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. Prop Theater's critically acclaimed His Honor is extending its run and taking the production on a summer tour. Now, as many of you know, the show has had a very successful 13-month run here in Chicago. The show is written by Prop Theater's founding member Neil Giantoli, who was one of our first interviews back in March of last year. His Honor is a personal in-depth look at Chicago Mayor Richard J. Daley during the times a politician was most famous for. The show will now be running through July 1st at the Prop Theater. Then it's going to take a little break before it returns for command performances and an open run starting on October 5th. During that little summer break, the show will be going on the road. Performances will be held at the Irish American Heritage Center starting on May 17th. You can also catch the show at the Skokie Theater and the Beverly Arts Center during this summer. For more information and tickets to His Honor, click on over to the Talk Theater in Chicago's Now Playing section. And to hear an in-depth interview, check out the Talk Theater in Chicago interview archives. There you'll find a wonderful interview between Tom Williams and Neil Giantoli. And you'll check out a little bit of our history as well. Well, as we mentioned last week here on the news podcast, American Theatre Company is looking for a new artistic director to replace Damon Kiley as he heads over to a new teaching job at DePaul University. Well, the ATC has named an interim artistic director while they're doing their nationwide search for their new artistic director. Luckily, they chose a fellow ensemble member, Steph Tovar. You may remember him from Stud Terkel's The Good War at Northlight Theatre, or when he won his Jeff Award for Best Supporting Actor for his role in the play Blade to the Heat. American Theatre Company made a smart choice in choosing an ensemble member for the interim artistic director, and we at Talk Theatre in Chicago would like to say, congratulations. Now, last week we broke format a little bit for you and played a promo, and I can tell you the feedback has been wonderful. So we decided to do it again. This promo is from Chris Lanning from the Your Neighborhood Stage podcast, which focuses on community theater. So enjoy.
Hi, this is Chris from Your Neighborhood Stage Community Theater Podcast. I wanted to tell you about another podcast that is available for a limited time. The American Association of Community Theater, which is the national voice of community theaters, is holding their national festival, ACFest 07, this June 18th through the 24th in Charlotte, North Carolina. 12 theater companies representing their respective regions will be participating in the festival. In addition, there'll be 27 different workshops and a commercial expo to boot. The ACFest Update is a limited series of podcasts designed to inform you about ACFest 07. Each episode contains interviews with festival participants, descriptions about the available workshops, and up-to-date festival information. Whether or not you intend to attend ACFest 07, you should check out the podcast. What a great way to find out about other organizations and the productions which made it past regional festivals all the way to Charlotte. You can find the ACFest Update by searching on ACFest in iTunes Music Store or by visiting the ACFest 07 website at www.aactfest07.org. Check it out, and we hope to see you at ACFest 07.
Well, thank you very much for listening to this encomiast episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from The Tragedy of Julius Caesar, Act 2, Scene 2. Cowards die many times before their deaths. Well, I can't thank you enough for listening to our little podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready to stick in your ears. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
You are listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago Review Podcast, Frozen by Brioni Lavery, directed by Steve Scott at Next Theater Company. Review by Tom Williams. Next Theater, true to their mission for socially provocative and artistically adventurous work, has mounted British playwright Brioni Lavery's 2004 Tony-nominated drama, Frozen. This is an outstanding play that director Steve Scott has deftly cast with three riveting performances. The 2004 play explores grief, revenge, and forgiveness. 10-year-old Rona has gone missing, and her mother Nancy, played by Laura T. Fisher, is trapped in a state of frozen hope, lasting nearly two decades. An ambitious American academic named Agnetha, played by Jenny McKnight, who is researching serial killers, unearths Ralph Wantage, played by Joseph Wyckoff, Rona's abductor. Through a series of monologues, we see the three unfold, a thriller-based psychological drama, complete with unique plot twists that keep us engaged throughout. Agnetha attempts to prove that Ralph's perversion is the effect of nature, due to a series of physical head traumas in his youth, rather than the forces of nature. Nancy becomes frozen in grief and revenge, and can only see Ralph as a calculated evil, yet she yearns to confront him and face the ultimate test of forgiveness. Playwright Brioni Lavery's characterization of Ralph offers only hints of his origin. Shades of Grey are emotionally played out in Up and Down Fits of Rage by Joseph Wyckoff, who gives a wrenchingly complex performance as the psychopathic killer. Laura T. Fisher's Nancy is nuanced, subtle, with seething emotions as she moves from blind hope to grief to revenge to forgiveness. We cherish her journey. Jenny McKnight's Agnetha moves from the cold academic to a grief-stricken lady, melancholic for her research partner recently killed in a traffic accident. Frozen is a thrilling journey with a chilling portrait of three intertwined lives that ultimately curves upward to the light. Hope reigns as the human spirit overcomes the evil in one's heart. Three players offer strong and polished performances. Frozen is a clever yet scary look at the personality of a serial murderer. Frozen has surprising twists and resolutions that are at once believable and humane. This intelligent work contains an emotional roller coaster filled with cathartic opportunity played out with humanity, courage, and compassion. See this terrific play, one of 2007's finest. I give this a highly recommended rating. Frozen by Brioni Lavery and directed by Steve Scott at Next Theater Company, located at 927 Noyes Street in Evanston, Illinois, now running through May the 13th. For tickets and more information, call 847-475-1875.
Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Susan Hart and Ben Vicelio for giving us the honor of interviewing them this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Mote, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.